We continue our learning with the Nishmas Tavim Ben Menachrush and Chav Yaakov Ben Pinchas Aliyah. We're in Shavuos Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin. Halacha is that if someone lends money to his friend and the moneyless Reuven lends money to Shimon, and now Shimon gives Reuven a mashkon, a collateral, so in case he defaults on the loan, Reuven will be able to collect that mashkon. So the malve, the lender, has the status of a shomer sachar on that mashkon, which means that if it's stolen or lost, he will be chayv to pay. If an onus happens, he can swear and he will be exempt. So that's a little bit of an introduction to our Mishnah. Hamalve es chavero al hamashkon, v'avad hamashkon. We have a case where Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon gave Reuven a mashkon, and Reuven is the shomer socha now on that mashkon, which makes him chayiv if that mashkon is stolen or lost. The avara mashkon, and now it was lost, or the same thing if it were stolen. Amalo, so now what's the problem? The malva says to the lo, Reuven says to Shimon, sela halvisicha alav. Now I know that if it's stolen or lost, I have to pay for your mashkon. I get that, and in fact, I'm willing to pay. The only thing is, I lent you a sela. I lent you, which is considered two mishneik shkalim. So which is four dinars. So sela equals four dinar, four zuz. But the mashkon you gave me did not equal the amount of money I lent you. The shekel hayashaveh. The shekel is a half a sela. Which is only two dinar. The mashkon you gave me was not worth the whole loan. It was only worth half the loan. So you still chayv to pay for me. It's true. I can't collect the full loan because I had a mashkon and I lost the mashkon. But the mashkon was only worth half of the loan. So the other half of the loan you owe me. V'halo Amir, and the lover claims, Lokit's not so. El sela hilvisani alav, v'sela hayashaveh. Now you lent me a sela worth and the mashkon I gave you the worth of sela. Now that the mashkon is lost, so then I'm not chayv to pay you anything. So the halacha here is a putter. So the lover is putter from taking a shvua because he is a kofer akol. He denied the entire claim. What if the malva though said to the lover, "Sela hel visicha alav v'shekel hayashaveh"? Same claim on his side. The sela, I lent you a sela of money, and you gave me a mashkon only worth half of that. V'halo amer, and the lover says, "Loki not so el sela hel visani alav." I grant you that the mashkon is not worth the entire loan, but it was not worth half, it was worth three quarters. So three dinar out of a sela. So then, chayv, the lova has now to take a shvua mina Torah, that in fact the mashkon was worth three dinarim and not two dinarim, not only a shekel, a half a sela, because he's a modem mixa. So think about that. Here, the claim is you owe me. Reuven says, well, I lent you money, and I lent you, it's true, I lent you a sela, and you gave me a mashkon, and I lost the mashkon, so it's true, now you shouldn't have to pay me back if the mashkon were worth the value of the money that I lent you, but it was only worth half that amount. So in this case, what does the lovis say? He says, well, it was worth three quarters that amount. It wasn't worth the full amount. If you said it were worth the full amount, that's the ratio case. He's kofer bakol, doesn't have to take a shvu at all. But here we're already admits that it was not worth the full loan, amount of the loan. And the mashkon was not worth that full amount. It was only worth three quarters. He's being modem and mixas because because Reuven's saying it's only worth half. He's saying it's worth three quarters. And the Gemara says, so here he has to take a shvu at d'oraisa of modem and mixas. That the Gemara says that the mava also has to take a shvu. What shvu does he have to take? That the mashkon is not in his reshus. What are we afraid of? We're afraid that really the malve liked that mashkon a lot. He wanted to keep it and wanted to acquire it and keep it for himself. So we'll see at the end of the Mishnah that the malve is the one that not only does he swear that the doesn't have the mashkon, while the lova has to swear that it was indeed worth three quarters and not half. The amount of the loan. The Mav has to take a shvua that it's not in his rishus, and we'll see that the Mav is the one who has to take a shvua first, and we'll see why. What if the Lova says to the Mav, the Mishnah continues, Sela halvisani alav ushtayim hayashav. So now this is the opposite situation, where the item was lost or stolen, but the Lova is claiming that the mashkon was worth double the amount of the loan. So it's not enough that the mashkon's lost, but he claims that the malve still owes him half the money. because he claims that the mashkon that he gave him was worth double the loan. And now, the although the mashkon may have been lost, nonetheless, he gets, and that's the malvis problem, and he wouldn't have to, and the lover wouldn't have to pay anything at this point, because it's a malvis negligence that he lost. Well, maybe not negligence, but it was his fault that it was lost or stolen. But nonetheless, there's the mashkon was not worth. But the mashkon is worth, claims the lover, double the loan. So you still owe me half the loan. You still owe me a sella. You lent me a sella, but the mashkon that was worth double that. So I gave you my watch to hold on to, but that was worth double the loan. So, and then what is, of course, the malvis? They have a halo omer. The malvis says, Loki, elo sella hevisicha olaf sovel harishovel. No. The mashkon you gave was not worth double the loan. It was worth exactly the amount of the loan. So it's true, you don't have to pay me the loan back because I lost the mashkon, but I don't have to pay you any money. I didn't lose a mashkon worth double the money that I lent you. Halach is part of the malva, is part of taking the shvua. He's a kofar akol because he denied the entire claim. But if the lover said, Sela habisani alav ushtaima yasha there, same claim on the lover, the loan, the mashkon I gave you, that watch I gave you to hold on to as collateral was worth double the loan. The halo man, the malva says, Lo ki natsu ela sela habisicha alav. I admit that the item, the collateral you gave me was worth more than the loan, but it was not worth double. It wasn't worth 6 dinar. It was worth only 5 dinar. So it was worth indeed more than the loan, not 4 dinar. Had it been 4 dinar, which is the sella, then that was the claim of the resha. But here he's admitting to the lover that in fact the mashkon was worth, that he was holding on to, he the malveh, was worth more than the loan. But 5 dinar, not 6 dinar. Then the malveh is chayav to swear, v'shvu min haTorah, that the mashkon was not worth more than 5 dinar, that it was not worth 6. He's a modeh b'miksas. And since also we're afraid he may have, Shema Einav Nasan B'mashkon, is interested in keeping the mashkon for himself, he has to take a shvua as well, that besides the shvua modem mixas, he has to take a shvua that the item is not birishuso. Uminishba, so both have to take a shvua, the malve, that it was not as in his rishus, and the love, where the love is modem mixas, which is the case, the earlier case in the Mishnah says, Misha Pikadon Etzlo. The one who was holding on to the Pikadon, which is the collateral in this case, little means the deposit, the Malva swears first. What are we afraid of? If the love will swear first, let's say in the Resha case, that in fact, the Mashkon, what happened in that case? That was the case where the Malva says, I know the mashkon was lost, but it wasn't even worth the amount of the loan. It was only worth a shekel, only worth half a sella. And the lover says, I admit to you, you're right, the mashkon was not worth a full amount of the loan, but it was not worth half. It was worth 5 out of 6, so, and he's modem mixas. So there we say that both have to swear. The lover swears that he modem mixas, it was only worth 5 out of 6. And the 3 out of 4 there, only 3 out of 4 there, rather. And the malveh has to swear that it's not in his rishus. We want the malveh to swear first that it's not in his rishus. Why? Because if the lovis swears first, this is what its value is. Shema yishava zeh, v'yotzi halas apikadim. Because if the lovis swears first, what the mashkon is worth, we're afraid the malveh may now pull out the mashkon underneath his hand, pull it out of his pocket, and it will be very clear that the loveh swore falsely, and Hashem's name will be desecrated. So therefore, we want the malveh to swear first that it's not in his rishus, and only then the loveh swears the modem mixas. Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Kol ha-nishboyin v'sheba Torah, nishboyin v'lo mishalman. So we gave this introduction a little bit before, where there are 3 shvuos d'oraisa. One is the shvuos of the modem mixas. Number 2 is the shvuos of a shomer. And number 3 is the shvuos of an eid echad, the shvuos where an eid echad testifies against someone, that someone needs to swear. He doesn't have to pay because it's only one aid, one witness. So generally speaking, if you think about the common denominator of all those 3 shvuos, in all of those cases, the person taking the shvuah is taking a shvuah so that he does not have to pay something. Now, the modem mixas, the shomer, I know you're claiming money for me, I'm taking a shvuah to exempt myself. And that's exactly what the Mishnah means here. Kol ha-nishboyin shabbat Torah, a shvuah d'oraisa, or all the nishboyin v'lo mishalmin. take a shvua and don't pay. But there is what we call the shvuas ha-mishnah, which the chachamim have added on shvuos, situations where they made an enactment that someone should swear, where, as the mishnah says, ve'elu nishbayin ve'notlin. These are the people who take a shvua, this is a shvua derabbanan, in order to collect money. Who are these people? And we'll see why it's this person who wants to collect the money, who takes the shvua, and not the other person. Number one on this list, and the mishnayos, the several mishnayos that follow, will discuss these cases. Number one, it says ha-sachir, and we'll explain each one separately. Sachir means the one who's a salaried worker. He's the one who's going to take a shvua that he wasn't paid and will be paid based on that shvua. Hanigzal, someone had an item stolen from him. He will swear that the item was stolen and he will be able to collect based on that oath. Hanechbal, one who is injured. Vishechinegdo chashur al hashvua, where the opposing litigant is suspected that he's going to lie. Whatever reason, based on his history, one who's supposed to take the shvua, who's supposed to swear to exempt himself from paying, is someone we don't trust to take a shvua. So one of those circumstances, we have the other litigant, the opposing litigant, take a shvua, then indeed the money is owed to him and the money will be paid. V'hachenvani al pinkaso, which is the storekeeper, shopkeeper on his ledger. We'll see that he gets to swear that if someone owes him put something on credit, so he's able, has it on his ledger, they wrote it down. If he swears, customer will have to pay based on his oath. And the Mishnah now begins to discuss the Sakhir. Ha-Sakhir Ketzad. What's this case where the Sakhir, one who's working for someone, an employee, gets to swear, is Nishva Vinotel. Swears, takes his oath, and then is going to be paid. Amalo. Take the case where the Sakhir tells the Balabais, the employee tells the employer, Tainli Schari Sheish L'Biyotcha. Okay, pay me. You haven't paid me for my work. You need to pay me for the malacha that I've done for you. Who omer? But the Balabais responds to the employer, says, Nasati, I already paid you. Vala omer, the Sakhir claims, Lo Natalti. I never got my salary, never paid it. So who swears here? So the Mishnah says, this is the example. Who? Nishba Vinotel. It's not the Baal HaBayis, the employer, who swears, I paid you already, and therefore I'm exempt. And that's usually what should happen, because as we said, the shvuos generally are where you swear and you don't have to pay. But this is a shvuos ha-mishnah, the chachamim added on to the sachir, is the one who swears that he was not paid and is going to be paid. Why is that so? Because we assume the Baal HaBayis is so preoccupied with all of his employees, he's not going to remember who he paid, who he did not pay. The sachir, though, he is working his... He's working for his livelihood, for his family. So obviously he knows very well whether he was paid or not. Therefore, the Chachamim instituted that he should take a Shavua where it's not clear where they come to Beis Din. We have him swear, and if he's willing to swear then that he was not paid yet, he gets to be paid by the Baal HaBayis. The Gemara says this is all true, though, where the employee comes to claim his money within the zman that he's supposed to be paid. But let's say he waited a while. The salary was due for a couple of weeks ago. And now he comes to Baal HaBayis. So then the Baal HaBayis, this is la'achar zmano, then we let the Baal HaBayis take a shvuas heses, that persuasion shvua, that shvua to appease, in this case, the sachir, that indeed the Baal HaBayis, the employer, actually paid him and he will be exempt because it's beyond that time. Let's say he hired him without any edim. So then also the sachir doesn't get to swear, the worker, the employee, but rather the employer will swear he is able to swear shuas heses to appease the sachir and say, I already paid you, I swear I already paid you. Why would we allow that if there were no edim when he hired him? Because he, the Baal HaBayis, has an ego, right? He's able to claim the following. Because I could have claimed I never hired you at all, because we have no edim to prove that. So believe me when I say this claim, the lesser claim, that I did hire you, but I already paid you. And if that's the case, there were no edim at the time of the hiring. So then the Baal HaBayis has this migo on his side, and therefore can be trusted, and will believe him. But he should make the shvuas heses anyway, the shvuah derabbanan, to appease the sachir, and the Baal HaBayis would not, the employer would not have to pay. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shetehei sham miksas hoda. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama and says that the sachir only will swear and collect his money where the Baal HaBayis is a moda de mixas. The Baal HaBayis is not a moda de mixas. The Baal HaBayis denies the entire thing, then the Shochet does not get to swear and collect. But if the Baal HaBayis is a moda de mixas, then he will. Okay, Tzad asked the Mishnah, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean? What's the case? Amar lo, tein li schari chamishim dinar sheyesh li biyadchal. The Shochet says to the Baal HaBayis, oh, you owe me 50 zuz, 50 dinar. Please pay me up for the work that I did. But who, Omer, the Baal HaBayis says, the employer says, his kabalt dinar zav. What do you mean? I already paid you. Now, what dinar zav is, as we mentioned in the past, is 25 dinarei kesef, 25 silver coins. So he's basically telling him that you are claiming from me, the employer says to the employer, you're claiming from me, I owe you 50 zuz, 50 dinar. No, actually, it's only, I already paid you 25 of those dinar, 25 of those zuz. So I'm chayv to give you another 25, but I don't owe you the full 50. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, this is where the Baal HaBayis, this is where we have a modim b'miksas case. But we don't let the Baal HaBayis do the swearing because, as we said, we assume that the Baal HaBayis is preoccupied. So we have the Sakhir take an oath and he gets to collect, in fact, the full 50 because we believe him over the Baal HaBayis. But if the Baal HaBayis, let's say, was Kofar HaKol, so where the Sakhir says, you owe me 50, the Baal HaBayis says, what are you talking about? I don't owe you anything. I paid you already. So then the only chiv that there would be a shuas heses, the appeasement, the persuasion shvua on the part of the Baal HaBayis, the employer, to say I already paid you. The Sakhir claims you'll be 50. He says, no, what do you mean? I paid you already everything. Then he's called for Bakol. Then the Baal HaBayis would not have to take, we wouldn't have the Sakhir take the shvua. The Baal HaBayis really wouldn't have to pay anything because it's kofar bakol, but we give him shuas heses and we tell him to take the shua, and indeed he would not have to pay in such a circumstance.